Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Stop chewing into the microphone.
I'm not.
No, don't you dare. No, 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 no. It's so gross. Stop. Don't. No. Hi, welcome to Fillory and Father, a podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things and not about mouth noises. No,
are
no,
you?
Stop. Hi, my name's Evelyn Rogers. Who are you?
I'm Scott Rogers.
Stop that! Stop. Stop. Don't you dare lean into the mic. I can see it in your eyes. No! No!
What no. podcast
no.
is this?
No! I already said we're a magician's podcast. Stop. Don't. Stop.
And what stop. Are we listening to today?
No, we're not listening to anything. Stop. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. No one. No. Mom doesn't.
What episode is this?
This is season 3, episode 11, 23, but not the 23rd episode.
Directed by Mira Menon.
Stop! No more. No more of this. Putting my foot down right now.
Ow. That was right on my foot.
Uh-huh. Sure it was. The proverbial foot is down.
Theater of the mind.
No more
baby.
ASMR. No more ASMR.
All right, we'll talk about the episode then.
Well, the episode starts with Elliot and Margot looking at a wanted poster of their faces. It's all the kings and queens of Fillory.
Except for Josh. It's a really good drawing of Quentin.
It is a pretty good drawing. But
everybody else is only so-so.
All of the kings and queens of Fillory, the Earth rulers, are hated. Except for Josh, because he was really more of like a substitute teacher, so no one really cared. But because of that, none of them can sneak back into Whitespire or, you know, near Whitespire to get back through the clock to get back to Earth, except for Josh. So they send Josh to go reconvene with Julia because Julia has brokered some kind of tentative peace with the Fairy Queen and they're now on good terms.
With Tinkerbell?
Well, Margo says, well, fuck Tinker bitch. Fuck her right in the Egg McMuffin.
Is that an Egg McMuffin with ham or an Egg McMuffin with sausage?
I don't know. I don't know, man. There's definitely egg. So they send Josh and...
Wait, you forgot to mention the most important trivia fact of this episode.
That Fillory salami doesn't taste like horse?
Yes.
Where is he eating salami that tastes like horse?
Well, I was going to say, is there other Fillorian salami? Fillorian salami? That's a hard word to say. Any more Fillorian salami that tastes like horse?
Maybe at the retreat.
Do you think that when Josh returns to Earth from Fillory, he'll want to go eat some salami that doesn't taste like horse? See? I told you, it's not very funny.
Maybe. But we never see him eating that salami.
Do you think that there is some sort of food that is better on Fillory than it is on Earth?
I don't know.
They always imply that food on Fillory isn't very good.
Yeah.
Like the champagne is bad, and
well,
the salami is so-so, and what are some other food items that are in the show so far?
Little cakes, but Josh made those.
Little cakes, right.
But
well,
Josh made those.
Yeah, remember I said that, you know, if you're going to make a fantasy world, you need to have some signature food. So that way
There's
when
no
you make the theme park,
food.
You have something for people to buy at the theme park, right?
Yep. Well, there's no signature Fillorian food.
That's a damn shame.
Yep.
Get on that.
The show has been canceled.
Maybe that's the reason why it was canceled.
Maybe.
Is because they never released a Fillory... cookbook, right?
Fillory
there's a
food.
There's a Star Wars cookbook,
yeah, well,
and a Superman cookbook.
It's just import all your food.
And I'm sure there. I'll bet there's a Star Trek cookbook.
Uh huh. A replicator.
Would you be interested in that as a
no?
No.
No.
Even with your newfound love of Star Trek,
it's not a hyperfixation.
Not a hyperfixation.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Anyway, so they go back to Earth and eat salami. The end.
No. We see Dean Fogg and Julia, and she gives him the lowdown on Irene and that all of the McAllisters are fucking dead except for her, basically, they think. And that Julia replaced all the wards
on break
at break bills. Yep. So now the dean has the school back, and he's like, no way you could have done that on your own. And she's like, well, I did.
I guess I do that now.
God powers. And she says, yep, the school is yours again if you want it. And he's like, wow, this is so great. This room smells so floral, considering all of the multiple murders that happened here. But yeah, and then we see Josh. He comes in, he gets to break bills. And he goes to Julia and he's like, hey, you know, didn't really have many other instructions aside from, like, talk to Julia. So, like, how are we going to get this, like, other key when they get zapped away into a Tesla flexion?
Oh, I was going to have Josh go, I'm done here. I'm going to go eat some salami. See you later.
No. But they get zapped into a Tesla flexion, which Julia recognizes because she and Quentin used one in season two.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially a tent with fairy lights.
It's a tent with fairy lights, and who comes in but Josh without glasses?
And a sweet cool jacket.
Yes. Cool Josh, brave Josh. And he says, hey, you know, the beast is killing people, and magic is gone, and, you know, we lost magic, but the beast somehow didn't. And, you know, we think maybe he still has magic because he's got this key around his neck. But, you know, we figured call on Julia because you were the best break bill student we ever had. And of course, Josh, because of course, Josh. And he says, well, help us, Julia and Josh, you're our only hope. And then the Tesla flexion ends.
Yes. And thus ending the best scene in all of The Magicians. Why?
Why?
Because not only was it a Star Wars reference, but there was also a Batman reference in there. Did you catch it?
I did catch it.
What was the Batman reference?
It was the Batman timeline where his parents died.
No, it's not the Batman timeline.
What did he say? He said parents something died. About parents dying.
No, that was not the Batman reference.
What did he say then? Did
you
write it down?
I memorized it.
What was it?
He said, Hola, Tesla.
No, he didn't. Whatever. Your notes just say
he made a Batman 60s reference where he said, Hola, Tesla, inflection, no, Robin,
no,
or something.
He did not.
Yeah, Josh, no. The first Josh
he
did.
He said alternate timeline.
Regular.
Stuff.
Oh, that's what he said. He said, Holy alternate timeline, Batman.
That's not.
Yes, it is. That's no. What he said. There's a Batman and a Star. I wrote, look at my notes. It says a Batman reference and
a
Star Wars reference.
You didn't write down what it was.
I not miss. Speedy on the notepad like you are.
Yeah, whatever. But they have the seventh key somehow, and the seventh key.
You mean this universe has the seventh key?
The universe, the 23rd timeline has the seventh key.
All right,
and
so let me.
Well, they get back to the cottage. And they're like, damn. Well, I guess we better give this quest to Quentin because, you know, he's been doing the key quest. That's his whole thing.
All right.
And so they put the time key into the clock to go back to Fillory, but instead the time key takes them to timeline 23.
Right. Okay. So first of all, let's talk about this.
Well, Josh says,
No.
What even are
Wait.
They're weirdly inconsistent.
Yes. Well, yeah, they are weirdly inconsistent, but that's par for the course on The Magicians.
Uh-huh.
All right. So let's talk about this problem for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alternate timeline.
Yes.
Everything in that timeline is replicated in some fashion.
Yes.
Although the fashion is divergent from the other timelines.
Yes.
So in this episode, we learn that Penny is a different Penny. Josh is a more awesome Josh. Julia is dead, etc.
Ah.
But if there is an alternate timeline with all these individual characters in them suffering their individual fates, why the fuck isn't there a whole set of seven other keys in this universe?
I don't know. Maybe they're just a single universal constant.
Like what? What's a universal constant that only exists in one reality?
Like the old gods. They only exist in one reality, which is their own reality.
But the keys are after the old gods. The keys came up when
the
lady...
Yeah, but they're made with the same kind of power.
Says who? That wasn't what they said in that animated short.
Well, that's just my theory.
That's your fan theory?
That's the fan theory.
Yeah, because obviously there's nothing to back it up in the show whatsoever.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that for some reason a key, which... Oh, this show makes my head hurt. It really does. It's so inconsistent and illogical. It just frustrates me to no end.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it bother you at all?
Yes, very much.
And yet, you're just sitting there with a big smile on your face.
It's not a happy smile. It's a resigned smile.
I mean, really, you could sum up this entire series with, these magic roles are weirdly inconsistent.
Uh-huh.
Right? And maybe that should be the t-shirt for the fandom for Fillory.
Uh-huh.
Is these magic roles are weirdly inconsistent.
You're weirdly inconsistent.
All right. Anyway, Josh has a sweet jacket.
He does have a sweet jacket. And you know who else we see? Marina. We haven't seen her since she died.
Yeah, who would have thought? Do you think the actress was, like, shocked to come back again?
I don't know. I mean, it's a fantasy show.
Right, but when was she last dead?
Season 2.
Right, so what was she doing in the meantime?
Hannibal.
Oh, okay. And then she gets a call and says, hey, we want to use Marina for one more episode?
Yeah.
And then she's like,
well, Hannibal,
cool
actually,
beans.
I think it ended by that
okay.
point.
Oh,
okay. You know, Hannibal
like,
conventions.
Heck, I need the work.
Yeah.
How long did Hannibal last?
2015, I think.
No,
2016?
But I mean, like, how many seasons?
Three seasons.
Three seasons? So was it concurrent with The Magicians, or did it start
earlier?
No, I
think it ended right before The Magicians began.
Well, then she wouldn't have been working on Hannibal.
I know. She's going to a Hannibal convention.
That took a year. She was like locked up in someone's basement for a year.
Par for course for Hannibal.
I guess so. I haven't seen it. It's too gross a show.
It's a good show.
Although this show has some pretty gross things going on in it as well.
Yeah.
Like what?
Like explosions.
Like somebody's face getting blown apart.
Yeah.
All right.
All kinds of stuff.
Let's get to that.
But Marina 23 is there. She's got a big old scar on the side of her cheek. And Josh recognized her because, you know, of course, she was a year ahead of him, and so he heard all about her. And, you know, they introduce each other, and Marina's like, well, I know Josh because Josh, but, like, how do you know me? And Julia's like, well, we were friends. Nothing, no more other information aside from that. We were just friends.
Julia, the most tactful of all the characters on The Magicians.
But Marina and Josh, 23, explain that the hedge witches and the magicians joined forces after the beast started going after everyone. And Marina says to Julia, you know, help kill the beast and the key is yours. That's all we want. And then we see this little conversation between Josh, our Josh, and Josh 23, the cooler Josh. And he says, yo, oh my god, like, how did this happen? Like, you look so amazing. And Josh 23 is like, yeah, I got LASIK.
It's because he's not wearing glasses.
And Josh is like, wow, I've always been scared to do that. You really are the braver Josh. And he says, like, you know, I was also stuck in the Netherlands. They both were stuck in the Netherlands, but no one came to get Josh 23, so he made it out on his own and resigned himself to never, you know, relying on other people ever again, which is sad.
So which is the Josh from the book that has the cool Via?
That's book Josh. The coolest Josh.
The coolest Josh.
The coolest Josh.
Which timeline is he in?
None of these.
Do you ever...
The previous timeline's the ones all the way back.
Have there been any
all the way in the future. Sorry, that's
another...
the theory. That's my theory.
Where
all the way in the future, there's Josh.
Show
cool book
Josh meets book Josh?
No, but I did write a fan fiction with both book and show Josh.
And did they meet each other?
They did not meet each other.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Could have made it for a good scene.
Could have, but nope.
All right. So then what happens?
Josh 23 roofies himself.
Julia.
Yeah, they both get roofied.
And then they tie him up.
They're tied up with fetish gear from Professor Sunderland. Shout out to Sunderland. We haven't seen her since season 1. I miss her. And Marina says, you know, the beast keeps looking for Julia, even though she's dead in this timeline. So I figured, why not just give the beast what he wants? Give him Julia. So they're going to give Julia to the beast. But, you know, Julia asks, you know, hey, didn't you guys have like a Reinemann Ultra spell that you could cast to kill the beast? And Marina's like, yeah, but you need like god level power to do that. And Julia flexes her magic by getting rid of their bonds and healing Marina's face, healing her scar as well as her migraines and her smoking addiction. And she says, you know, I've got that power. I can help with that.
How come Julia didn't give our Josh LASIK while she was at it?
I don't think she can give Josh LASIK.
Why not?
I don't think...
She can cure a smoking addiction.
I don't know.
And, wait, what was the other thing? Migraines?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. But Arena says, okay, well, we need to go talk to Dean Fogg because he's the one who knows about the Rhinoman Ultra. And he's still alive, you know. And he's, you know, but she's like, but Josh is still our prisoner. You guys, to the Joshes, you guys can swap puberty stories. Like, they're the same stories. So then we see Julia and Marina walking to Dean Fogg's office, and Marina asks, you know, what's with this weird tension that Julia has around Marina? She's like, did we fuck or something? Because you're giving me, like, this kind of weird kind of tension, and I don't know if it's the good kind of tension. And Julia is still, like, avoiding talking about it. And she says, well, you know, we got into a big fight, but then we fixed it. Nothing else. No other bad things happened. Just that we got into a fight. And Marina does not believe her. But we do see one shot of, like, perspective that someone is watching them. Mm. And then we see Dean Fogg in his office. And he explains once again that he's the only one who remembers all of the timelines. And so he just starts going at it at the drugs. And he explains that Bigby is dead and all the magical creatures got kind of, like, hunted up and chopped up after Magic died, which sucks for them. And he says in a great line by Rigworthy, he's just like, oh, I killed a leprechaun once.
Yeah, some good leprechaun killing delivery.
Yeah. And he says, you know, some two students went to go get the Rhinoman Ultra, but luckily for you guys, they died in just the worst possible way. Just absolutely awful. And they died on campus. They're still haunting the library because they're ghosts. So then we see Josh and Josh. And they're kind of, you know... This is where we see them, like, arguing about being stuck in the Netherlands. And Josh, 23, says, you know, you'd be scared to have what I have. Like, I'm about to experience the quickening. And Josh, like, what's the quickening? He's like, no. You don't get to know my personal trauma. Just be glad you've never banged a werewolf. And our Josh is like, uh-oh.
You know what the quickening is, right?
Yeah, it's like Pon Farr. It's no. Where you gotta fuck or die.
No, that's not what the quickening
is. That's what it is in the show.
Maybe, but for realsies, the quickening is from... Haven't you ever seen Highlander?
I've never watched Highlander.
Oh my god, how can you not
watch... Mel Gibson's racist.
It's not Mel Gibson, it's Christopher Lambert.
Oh, okay.
You heathen, okay. Smackety smack.
Okay.
You're so dumb.
Sorry, Braveheart.
No, you need to watch the Highlander, because the Highlander is awesome and has everything you love in it.
Wait, doesn't that one have Clancy Brown?
Yes, okay. It has Clancy Brown in it as the best film villain. The reason why I freaked out
I
met Clancy Brown.
I remember now.
It's because of the Kurgan.
I remember now.
We're all right. This is it. Now. You know what? I declare. No, I declare.
Not a Highlander
no,
podcast.
This is it. You keep trying to make me watch and other things. We're going to watch Highlander. We're going to do an episode about
it.
No. Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. All right, if you want Evelyn to watch Highlander with me and then us talk about it, write in.
No.
Say, cast a vote for, and if five people write in and say, we want this to happen, we're going to do it.
No.
Yes, we're going to do it.
No.
You have no say in the matter.
Yes, I do.
And
I
then,
can close my eyes
and
shut my ears.
And then you will
shut
learn.
My mind. I'll disassociate.
You will learn from Sean Connery what the quickening is. Don't make a face about Sean Connery. How dare you? How dare you?
Anyway, Marina and Julia go to the library, and they see a spooky ghost. It's Elliot, drenched in blood.
Hey, you know what this is a job for?
What? Mr. Clean.
Our alternate storyline of the kids being Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
Da 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 da. That's what we need. We need our Ghostbusting plot, right? Again, this is where proves that we... Wasn't that fun to watch Marina and Julia skulking around a creepy library with flashlights a la Scooby-Doo?
Maybe.
Yes, it was.
Maybe.
They should do a show... Just get those actors aren't working. Get
them. They are.
Who's work? Is Marina working?
Yeah.
On what?
She was in a movie recently.
Which movie?
I don't remember the name.
Nobody
of
was
it.
Shooting movies last year.
Well, a movie was just released with her in it.
What about the other one? Marina.
You mean Stella?
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing.
What about your boy?
Elliot is...
No, well, yeah. No, not Hale. Hale's our boy.
My boy, Arjun?
No, your boy...
He's doing charity Quentin. Stuff. He's doing a play in July.
Plays don't count.
Yes, it does.
No, movies. Fuck you. Movies are better than
Fuck
plays.
You.
So
Fuck
yeah,
you.
Get the crew back together, right? But in a totally new show.
Then that's why you should watch The Great Filter in January, starring
Filter.
Trevor Einhorn and Jason Ralph. It is a 70-minute, one-act show about two astronauts in space.
But that's
they're selling
ghosts.
Digital tickets. I think all of the live ones are out of stock now.
Is this a commercial?
This is
giving an ad?
This is
Didn't
the
you
ad.
Do an ad for this like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
No,
whatever.
We can't repeat ourselves.
No, we've
with
done
ads.
That before.
What?
Anyway,
when have we repeated an ad?
Go see The Great Filter. I'm very excited to go see it. It's going to be a fun time. I'm excited to see some boys in space.
You know, it was a great filter. It was the fact that we finally got a replacement filter for a refrigerator.
The air conditioning? Oh.
No, for a refrigerator, yes. Otherwise, I was drinking toxic
water.
Shout
out to refrigerators.
No, shout out to Mrs. Rogers for ordering the spare filter. Thank you, sweetheart.
Don't kiss the microphone.
I didn't kiss the microphone.
No one wants that.
All right, so anyway, we see dead...
We see Elliot. We see Margo. We see them both. They're stuck in a loop because that's what happens with ghosts.
You know what's worse about time loop?
I hate you. So we see Margo and Elliot. And they're looking through some books in the library. And they found a book that could give them a power-up before they can cast the Reinemann Ultra. And it is a co-op spell. And Margo's like, come on, we gotta pull ourselves together. And Elliot's, you know, having a hard time of it. And he's like, Bigby called me a lush. That's just a fancy word for alcoholic. And he's like, but what if Bigby was right? What if I am a fuck up and I'm just gonna screw up and be awful? And Margo smacks him. And she says, you gotta cock up and you gotta pull yourself together. And then we see Elliot covered in blood. He's got Margo's ear on his shoulder. And he is severely traumatized, muttering to himself, saying, oh God, I screwed it up. And he drops the Reinemann Ultra page on the ground, and so Julia takes a picture of it.
Can you take a picture of ghost stuff?
Yes, you can, apparently.
I mean, you can take a picture
like
of ghosts.
They're like solid.
I guess you can take a picture
of ghosts,
right?
They're solid in this universe because they can hurt you.
Have you ever seen a picture of a ghost?
I have seen pictures of ghosts.
Like real ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a ghost?
No, I've never seen a ghost, but Mom has.
Yeah, I know.
Several times.
I've never seen a ghost either.
I've felt a ghost. A ghost has held my hand once.
When did a ghost hold your hand?
When I was in on the East Coast on my DC trip.
But, I mean, like, where were you that somebody was holding your hand with it, like a ghost?
Was that an old Civil War battleground?
And they were holding your hand?
They held my hand. They squeezed it.
And
they gave a little squeeze.
And you looked down and nobody was holding
your
hand?
No one was there. It was also really cold that day. And it was like really warm and weird.
Are you sure it wasn't your other hand squeezing
it
for warmth?
I'm very sure it wasn't my other hand squeezing it for warmth. Anyway, they took a picture of the ghost paper. And then we see Margo with her face all blown out.
This is a real effects-heavy episode, by the way. There's faceless Margo. There's... some other effects later on that we see.
Yeah, that's great.
There's a lot of flying ships, too, in this episode.
Yeah, there was a really nice shot early on
out.
Of the Jack flying.
Yes,
it's really pretty.
They went all out.
It's only there for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird transition, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's like this, it's a shot of somebody talking. Mm-hmm. I forget who it is. And then it's like
suddenly,
a shot of the boat
sky.
Flying through the sky. And then it's back to the same character, but they're in a different pose.
Yeah.
Which I guess implies that it's a different time.
Yeah.
I guess it was Elliot, right?
Yeah.
It was like Elliot in repose.
But that happened earlier.
Well.
And we're talking about how someone is following Julia and Marina.
Could it be Ghostbusters?
It's not the Ghostbusters. And Julia's like, on my signal, we'll turn around and I'll attack him. And
she goes,
like
Ghostbusters. That's just like Ghostbusters, though,
Marina's
right?
Marina's like, that's your signal?
That's exactly like Ghostbusters.
And you know who it is? It's Penny 23. And he goes, oh my God, Julia, I can't believe it's you. And he kisses her on the lips, no consent. This man, Penny 23, has no fucking concept of consent.
But you love him.
No, I don't love him.
You do.
I don't love him.
He's your favorite.
I love Arjun Gupta. I do not love Penny 23. He is not my man. I reject him I reject him and his he is a false idol.
He is a false idol. Nicer version.
That's what's bad.
What? You liked Penny being a dick?
Yeah.
That's what made him enjoyable? That's what makes him great.
Yeah. But at least in this episode, he's still a dick. Thank God.
He's not that much of a dick. He's only a little bit.
But Julia says, I'm not your Julia. I'm from a different timeline. And Penny's like, well, it was like a dream. And I just like, I had to see if it were true or not.
What if Penny 23 had shown up and he was wearing the robes? Like in
I would kill for that, for him to be floating. Oh my God. On his little Segway, on his little hoverboard. I would kill for that.
That would really jack up the effects budget. I would
love him. I would love Penny 23 if he was on a little hoverboard in his little monk robes with no hands. And he had little spectral hands. I would kill for that. I think Penny 23 should have been punk. I think they should have leaned 100% into a different look for him and made him punk.
Like giving him a mohawk?
Yes. I think he should have had a green mohawk, like in the books. I think he should have had, like, spikes and, like, painted nails and, like, fun leather jacket and stuff.
Could Arjun Gupta grow that much of a...
I believe in him.
In a
they hair have hair pieces.
Between seasons?
I believe
seasons?
In him. I believe in him.
It's a lot of work to maintain
those spikes.
Dude,
it's called a hairpiece. It's called a wig.
But how do you get those spikes without, it's like, stapling into your head or something?
It's called a... You don't put spikes... You don't have to put spikes in your head. You can just have like a
don't
spiky
need,
mohawk.
Like, don't you need
you just
a trellis?
Need a lot of hairspray.
Don't you need a trellis
no,
to grow
hairspray.
Your mohawk
no.
punk
no, you
like
just
spines?
Need hairspray. No, you don't. You need you just need hairspray.
I guess I don't
but
know
I think,
how mohawks
I think Penny 23 should have been punk. It would have been way cooler. And I just think he should have been meaner, too.
Why is Penny 23 talking like he's in a Shakespearean play?
Because he's going through it. All his friends died.
And he talks like Thor from the comic books.
He's going through it. But then Julia's like, well, I guess we can have a traveler come along. He might come in handy.
Get it handy? Hands, traveler?
Uh-huh, because he has his hands?
Yes.
Hilarious. So then we see Julia trying to do the Ranaman Ultra, and it starts to work, but then it doesn't.
And it falls apart, and once again, lots of special effect.
Yeah.
Actually, a pretty good special effect of
it's
the
cool.
Ultra falling yeah. apart into pieces.
And then we see Penny 23 talking with Josh,
just,
and he's like, yo,
just call
so
him
like,
Penny. He's the Penny
he's
now.
Penny 23.
He's the Penny
he's
now.
He's Penny 23. So then we see Josh is like, He asks Josh, you know, like, what happened to me in the other timeline? And Josh is like, well, I'm not sure you're, like, technically dead. But if you did die, it was doing something heroic, unlike my dick of an alternate self. And he's like, tell me, once again, what is the quickening dick, Josh? But he won't tell him. And Josh says, you know, you are the cooler Josh because you get to hang out with cool Julia while I'm stuck with Marina. And when Marina dies, I'm not going to be that mad about it, you know. And Josh is like, well, you know, maybe I am the cooler Josh because you were dumb enough to bang a werewolf. Ha ha. I definitely didn't do that. But Josh,
they're making a lot out of this banging a werewolf plot point that, and they even showed it in the preview.
Yeah.
And it's like there was no payoff for it.
That's in season 4.
So why even mention it?
Well, they have to set it up. They're laying the bricks.
They're not, though. They just remind you right before the episode, like they do all the time, and just go, oh, yeah, by the way, remember when Josh banged a werewolf that we never got to see?
Yeah. I remember.
I don't. That's why there's those flashbacks.
Well, we never see him bang the werewolf. He's just, like, in a cage.
Maybe there should have been a flashback for
Maybe
that.
Maybe there should have. But,
why
Josh,
not? They do pretty much everything else in this show.
But Josh 23 gives our Josh the jacket, the cool jacket. And he says, here, don't call me Dick Josh. Don't call me Dick Josh anymore.
Hurts his feelings.
But then we look over and oh my God, it's the Beast sitting in a little armchair. Just having a great time.
Again, more effects.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. I forgot how cool it was.
He starts to choke.
I still think, what if it had been
the leaf?
Beast, though?
That would have been really cool, but they can't do that.
They can't have a twig floating in front of his face. It would have gotten rid of the surprise.
Yeah, but he's like choking our Josh, and Josh 23 distracts him, and then he gets slashed across the stomach and dies.
Conveniently, visually killed.
And then Julia does a little force blast
No, she shoots Orion and Ultra at him.
Yeah, does she?
Yeah.
Oh, she tries to, but it just blows away all of the moths.
It just kills all the
and
moths.
And they hide behind a table, and we see the moths flutter away, and they get burned away, and we hear the Beast say, "Ooh, the key didn't lie," and it's Quentin! He's got sparkly electric blue eyes and long hair pushed behind his ears, and he's in a little suit, he licks his lips. It is the hottest thing I've ever seen.
It's too bad we're not a video medium, because right now
I'm very glad we're not.
Evelyn's Evelyn's eyes have become hearts, and they're like, and they're like little hearts floating off of her head right now. Their head right now.
Uh-huh.
So.
But, they disappear. Penny 23 travels them all to the Netherlands, and Quentin looks over the little table, and they're disappeared.
They have escaped.
They've escaped from the Netherlands. Yes, Penny 23. So then they're in the Netherlands. They've reconvened. There's no librarians there, and they're trying to think, how is Quentin the Beast? Like, in Penny's like, all I know about this Quentin is that he convinced Julia to run away to Fillory, and that's what got her killed.
All right.
And Julia's like, well, I know that Quentin died, like, that's what Alice said when we, like, called her on the Tesla phone. And, you know,
all right, look
Josh
at my
says,
note.
You know, there's a discrepancy between when Q was killed by the Beast and, you know, when Q was the Beast. So the real question is, where's Alice?
No, the real question thing is this.
We are squarely in fan fiction territory.
Yes, we have.
I wish there was more Beast
this
Q.
This whole episode.
I wish we had a whole episode about this so I could see him become evil.
This whole episode is just fan fiction at this point.
That's what the whole show is.
No, but I'm saying, but even more so. Like this. What is
so,
there?
You know, this means this can empower you to write anything you want.
What
Dad.
Is
you
what?
Should write whatever your
what
little
in
magician's
this,
you want.
What
is.
In this episode is actually from the book at all, other than the names of the characters? A matter of fact,
Joshua Vlasic.
Matter of fact, name one character in this episode who acts like their counterpart in the book.
Penny.
No.
He's a dick.
No.
And therefore, he acts like himself.
No, he's
in the
He's not. But Penny 23 is not at all like Penny from the books in this. No, he's not. What? Name another one, because you're
bunnies.
Wrong. The bunnies. No, Mr. Hops is not.
Captain
Hops. Sorry, I didn't mean to demote you, Mr.
Don't
Hops.
Demote him.
Captain Hops is not in the book. Although Captain Hops is pretty awesome.
Should have been in the book. The Winter's Doe. Her horns.
The Winter's Doe.
Her antlers are in the book.
No, there's not. There's not even Dev Fleischman in this episode.
He's not even.
How awesome would that have been?
Dev Fleischman?
Yeah. Show up as a character and say, hey, I'll help you with this key quest.
Well, he's
and then
not
I'll
there.
Just write the story.
Here,
he'll like grab the book. He'll write in the book.
He's the woman on the book in the ocean.
You know who Dev Fleischman should have been?
Who?
Is when God. They had fake Cassandra, fake Alice.
Oh, yeah.
How funny would have that been?
It should have been.
Wouldn't that have been awesome? It would have been perfect, right?
His rate's too high.
Lev's rates are too high now?
Yeah.
Does he have an agent?
He has an agent, and his cameo rates are off the charts.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Lev. Keep making that cheddar.
But they go and find Alice. She's on the Muntjac, actually, and she's
She's got wooden hands.
Yeah, she's got wooden fingers, and she's working for some bunnies.
She's a
fun fact,
radish smuggler.
Fun fact, Olivia Taylor-Dudley said in an interview once that she is definitely allergic to rabbits.
Aww.
And had a terrible time. She was just sneezing up a storm that
Aww,
day.
That, no wonder she looks so miserable.
I know. Well, also, it's the makeup.
Here's the other thing. I think that at this point, I think everybody just should have gone, fuck the key quest. Everybody would have been happier if they just switched realities. So, send Alice 23 to live with Quentin, whatever, 42. Send Julia to live with...
No, because they're not in a relationship anymore.
But they love each other.
Yeah, they love each
Quentin
other.
Quentin loves an Alice.
Yes.
And Alice
no,
loves a
but
Quentin.
Did you
Does
forget,
it really
did you
matter which
whole,
one it is?
Did you forget the whole fucking life in the day episode, sir?
What about it? He could still also love Hale Appelman.
That's true.
You could have all three. Have
all three?
And then have Margot in there as well. And then
well,
everybody's
you,
happy, right?
You have one right idea.
What's is that? I just want all these characters to live happily ever after, Mark and I know Quillia that, writes. And I know that none of them will. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to resolve it. So you have,
yeah, maybe you should write your fan fiction about it, sir.
No,
maybe
because that's just revisionist stuff. That's
no, it's not.
I don't want to fix someone else's problems. I want to make my own problems.
That's what you're doing. Is you're fixing. I don't want to fix. I'm not by coming up with these.
I'm
endings.
Not so mad at the show that I want to just fix it completely.
Uh-huh.
And just go.
But that's it. Sounds exactly what you're doing. Doing, sir.
It's not like I'm saying, you know, Quentin should be a frog or something.
Fuck you. I think it would be a great way for him to not be in the series if he wanted to leave, but still be a character that's alive.
What did he just turn him into a rabbit instead?
Turn it, no, because then he'd just be voiced by John McNamara. Is that and no who, one wants that.
Is that who voices the rabbits?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Are they all? Why do rabbits all have the same voice?
Because they're a hive mind.
No, I don't believe that.
Maybe you just
well,
need
hive
to
mind
a
doesn't
deeper.
Mean that they all have the same voice.
If they all have the same speak, they speak as one.
If they speak as one, that just means they think the same thoughts.
No, they.
So if we were thinking the same thoughts,
like
but you would
Borg.
Still no, but Borg are made of individual humans
yeah,
and other
creatures,
aliens.
Bunnies, but they
aliens.
All speak as one.
No, but they wouldn't have different. They'd have different
the
voices.
The bunnies are the Borg.
They'd have different vocal cords, even within the rabbit culture. I'm sure that they're, you know, they're mutations,
anyway,
right?
Anyway, Alice says that she went to a creature in the Northern March and,
March? The Northern
Marsh.
March?
Northern Marsh.
She went for
a
hike?
And she got the power to bring back Quentin without
Wait, what
shade.
Was the monster in the Northern Marsh?
Doesn't ever say.
But isn't that something from the book? Isn't
sort
that
of.
The thing that,
Prince of Mud.
Isn't that, yeah, the thing that,
But he's a different thing in this. He's in season 4.
He's like a big, what was he, a big turtle or frog or something?
He's a big snapping turtle.
Yeah.
But he's not.
He's a dick turtle,
he's
though.
He's a different turtle in this.
All right.
But she says that she traded her ability to go to the underworld when she dies to get the power to bring back Quentin without his shade. Instead, she will be enslaved to this creature when
to a turtle?
She dies.
So first she's enslaved to rabbits, and now she's enslaved to a turtle?
Yes, she works for them, and she holds and she moves boxes for them because it's the only thing they can't do.
The tortoise and the hare?
Yes, exactly. But she says since she brought him back without his shade, he was different. Obviously, and he wanted Fillory for himself, and he killed Ember and stole his powers, and he killed the beast as well. And he, you know, he said that he finally understood Martin Chatwin.
Right.
And, you know, Julia's like, oh, fuck, this is technically me and Quentin's fault because we did talk to Alice, and he did say, you know, I love you at the time. And she's like, now I'm trying to fix my mistake, Alice's. And so she got the Leo Blade, and she made a deal with Fenn's grandpa or whatever.
Yeah, they essentially just said, hey, we have this prop laying around
same
from
thing, yeah.
season 2 or 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just reuse it.
Season 1.
Thank
And she's like, but I don't have the power to hold it. So Julia grabs that sucker, and she's like, I do.
Yes.
So
everything is easy for Julia now.
She's like, tell Captain Ops I'm leaving. We're gonna go kill Quentin.
You forgot to talk about Carrot Wine.
Oh, well, it's the next scene.
Oh,
you
is
see
it?
Penny 23 and Josh talking together. Penny 23 is drinking some Carrot Wine.
It does not look good.
Does not look good. And, you know, Josh says, the other Josh said something terrible would happen. Penny 23 says, something did. He fucking died.
It's true. He did
it's
die.
A funny line. And he's like, I thought, you know, that the werewolfism was just like, you know, a normal STD, but instead I have like murder herpes. Penny 23 threatens Josh and he says, hey, if you're around Julia when you get into this quickening thing, you better run the fuck away because I'm gonna fucking kill you. And then we see Marina.
It's not very friendly for Penny, who just has met this Josh.
Yeah, but he's like a gruff and tough Penny 23 for exactly one whole episode, and we do
and
love
then
it.
What, and then what happens?
He becomes soft. He becomes soft.
He becomes a cock, as Margo says. Because remember, she says that pussies are harder than cock.
Sure. But then
hey, I didn't write this horrible line.
Then,
why did you wait? Well, no, explain yourself. Why did you give me a look?
That. Just the way you said.
Because you know they're not they're profane words. They're swears.
Yeah, they're swears.
I know.
We
yeah.
have swears. On
well,
this
we
podcast.
Do have swears on this podcast, but you don't go running around saying those words. It's not polite. Here's your dad advice moment. Stop using the word cock and pussy so much. Find other better words.
Penis.
Not penis. What is that?
Penis.
Oh, penis. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying something in French.
No.
How about junk?
Junk?
Or wanger?
We don't need to talk about this.
Or ding dong.
We don't need to talk about this. So we see Marina, and she's like, I think we should give Alice to the bees. I think we should use her as bait.
Aw, that's so mean. Poor Alice.
Give her up. She wants to die anyway. She doesn't want, she's trying to make up her mistakes, you know? Let's just do that. And Julia says no. And she sits in this kind of beam of light, so she looks godly. And she finally tells Marina, I tried to kill a god once. And it didn't work out so well. I used you as bait. And when I couldn't get back, he killed you. And it was pretty fucking bad. He ate your little fingies like carrots. And she's like, I would never do that to someone ever again. So I'm going to make sure that we don't. And I know deep down, he's still Quentin. And she's like, what, are you going to spare him? And she's like, no, I'm going to use that against him.
Aww.
Boom. So they go to White Spire. See,
now, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Quentin is finally happy. We can tell that this Quentin is
happy.
He is happy.
Is he happy?
He's got a fabulous suit. He's got his hair looking nice.
He
has all the power of Fillory.
Well, he does look nice.
And he wants to...
But he's not happy.
He's not happy.
He just doesn't have emotions.
Oh, I see. Well, but I mean, it's like when they took the juice to use the Vitamin Ultra, right? They had to lose all their emotions.
No, that was an emotion bottle, yes, and they tried to do it for shield stuff, but it didn't actually work for Random and Ultra.
All right.
But they go to Whitespire. They all travel to Whitespire, and it's all overgrown and shitty, and we see a Fillory and Further fanboy collection. There's the horns from the Winter's Doe. There's this bugle that, like, Rupert
played. Would you say Fillory and Father?
Ha ha ha. It's collection. The name of our
the
podcast.
The Fillory and Father collection?
There's nothing there except for MP3s.
Do we have any... We don't have any artifacts yet. Because somebody has not made a t-shirt.
Sorry.
If you want a t-shirt, you should email us. If one person emails us and says they want a t-shirt, we'll do it.
Oh my god. But they all go to the main throne room, and there's a single throne, and it's Quentin, and he's eating, like, a fucking haunch of meat, and he's got his jacket off, and his sleeves rolled up, and his, like, fucking vest unbuttoned, and hair's... It's hot, dude!
Okay.
It's so hot!
Okay, funny person, tell me that funny joke that you said.
After we watched the episode, I said, ooh, Quentin cold water, more like Quentin hot water.
Quentin does look very studly.
But he, like, sniffs, and he's like, oh, Alice, I can smell you. Come out before I, like, burn everyone with fire.
That's kind of unpleasant, though, right? Mm-hmm. That idea that, like... I can smell you.
Well, hey, it's just like the Nazgul.
Yeah, I know. All right, so he's turned into a Nazgul?
Yeah, but sexier.
What if he had, like, worn a black hood and was all creepy looking?
It'd be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool,
be pretty cool. But you know what's cooler? The fact that he's got his hairs pushed back behind his ears, and he's got his little key around his neck, and he's got, like, his big, strong powers dance, and his, like, posture's so good, and he's, like, so sure of himself, and he's not, like, fidgeting at all. Is Jason Ralph, play more villains, please. Thank
That's
you.
That's true. Jason Ralph would make a good Bond villain,
I
maybe.
I want him to do it.
Like a James Bond villain? Like, kind of like a young, what's his face, Facebook guy?
Facebook guy?
Yeah, what's his name? Zuckerberg?
No.
If he were like a tech magnate, like, you know, Zuckerberg, but instead of it Facebook,
instead of looking like an alien, he would look like a hot human.
No, he's not an alien. It's James Bond.
Mark
James
Zuckerberg.
Bond is not.
Saying
James
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, no,
look
Mark
human.
Zuckerberg just acts like an alien.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of like Elon Musk, right? He's like super twitchy and nerdy. And just we're blinded by the fact that these guys are so rich that we don't see what big nerds they are.
Uh-huh. But
I make very cutting observations
Penny
like that.
Penny 23.
And you just
And Penny 23 can't travel out of Whitespire because
that's it. Podcast is over.
No,
you get no respect on this podcast.
And Alice gets out into the open because she's like, I don't want you guys to die. Because, like, Marina has, like, thrown little rocks and stuff to get his attention.
Yeah,
whatever.
That was pretty lame.
Yeah, pretty lame. And Josh blew on the bugle, and Quentin was like, wow, you should practice. That was awful. But she's like, Quentin, I know you're still in there. And he's like, you never should have run from me. She's like, I never should have run from you. You know, you killed everyone except for me. Why? And he's just like, I mean, you were already torturing yourself so much, I just figured it wasn't worth it. And with all the other magicians, I just realized I didn't like them that much, you know?
See, now that's the other thing that sucks, mm-hmm. right? Is that in the book, Quentin is, you know, good friends with everybody, right? Like, yeah. He's the friendliest.
No.
No?
No.
Not the friendliest?
No.
In the books?
No. No.
I don't know. He's pretty friendly.
He's depressed.
Not in the first book.
Well. Not in the first book.
No?
No.
Well, not with Penny. He's not friends with Penny. But Penny's
They're frenemies.
He's an antagonist.
They're frenemies.
Antagonist.
They're frenemies. But she's like, why the moths? Why are you dressing up like the Beast? And he's like, you know, if you show up as like a dude, no one really cares. But if you show up with a face full of fucking moths, everyone loses their shit. And I mean, he's not wrong.
You know what the real answer was?
What?
Because Jason Ralph fits in the same clothes as the other guy did.
Yeah.
Right? You think they just let him wear the same wardrobe?
No, I'm sure they got him a new wardrobe.
You think so?
Yeah. And he's like, you know, the Beast should be honored. I pulled a Dread Pirate Roberts, which is pretty good.
Another good reference. Quote. See, this... All right. Anyway, go ahead.
We'll talk about this at the end. Oh, okay. And Alice is like, Q, please. You're still in there somewhere. I believe it. And he's like, the Quentin I knew is still in there. And he's like, yeah, I ate him. Which is like, whew. And then he's like, okay, I'm done with this. And he kills Alice. He just slices her.
Poor Alice.
And
sad, pathetic, wooden-handed Alice.
Yeah, but Julia sneaks up behind him and she shoves her shade into him. And immediately Quentin feels all those emotions that he hasn't felt. And he's like, you know, shaking and whatever. And
he crumples up into a chair.
Mm-hmm. And
he has the feels.
And he crawls over to Alice's dead body and he sees, and he's like, oh God, I killed her. This is awful.
It is awful.
And it is awful. And he's like, and Julia asks, you know, what are you using the key for? And he's like, I heard it was used to bring back magic. And she's like, listen, I'm not going to kill you. I want to help you. Those visions saw me killing you, but I'm not going to do it. And he's like, no, those visions, I saw you opening a lock at the end of the world and you let in something even worse than me. And a suicide warning right here. Quentin kills himself. Then Julia collects her shade and
he grabs
gets the
knife.
He grabs the Leo blade knife, and yes. He slips it in. And then Julia gets a key from his dead body.
Yes.
And he
is dead with Alice. A happy ending for them both.
No.
It's like Romeo and Juliet.
But it sucks a lot, and this is...
So now everybody is dead, and that's the end of the series, because Quentin and Alice are dead, and our protagonists are gone.
No. It just sucks that, like, they center so much on suicide a lot.
No, it's...
I hate it.
I know.
It's awful. But then we see Josh, and he's, like, waving the key around, trying to find the door, and they're like, don't you have a ritual or something? He's like, no, I wish it was that easy. So he's just waving his little key around, and she's like, oh... Is that the other Josh's jacket? You look cooler in it. And he's like, wow, you are an asshole. You're so mean. And then Penny 23 is like, did that key work on you or anything? And Julia's like, no, it didn't show me any visions. I didn't see anything. And he's like, cool, then it didn't tell you that I'm coming with you. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, I'm not asking your permission. And I'm like, oh, that's a thing he does often.
What?
Not ask permission. Hmm.
Well, maybe he feels like he has to.
And she says, Julia, you know, Julia says, you know, I'm not her. And he says, oh, I know you're not her here, but over there, give it time.
Ugh.
Anyway, Josh finds the door and Marina runs through it.
Wait, why are you,
and then they
why
get
are
back
you negging?
To the normal timeline.
Why are you negging on Penny, who is in love with Julia?
But it's not that Julia. It's a different person.
But it's still that person.
It's not, though, because it's a different person with different experiences. And Penny 23 himself shits on someone else for getting feelings for someone from a different timeline. And, you know, he's like, yo, they're not the same person, when he's doing the exact same thing. Hypocrisy.
So is everybody dead in Timeline 23 now?
Yeah.
Like, basically. Is it just a pretty empty...
Well, it's just all, like, Quentin the normal kill people. All the
war... Oh, it's just...
It's just the normal people.
So really, it's our universe. All the magicians. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that where... Dimension 23?
Yeah.
And no magicians left?
Yeah. But they go through the door, and that is the end of the episode. The series.
Episode. Season?
No.
How many more we got?
Two more seasons. Two more episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So... what did you think about this one?
I love this episode.
Is it your favorite episode?
It is not my favorite episode.
What? This still is not your favorite episode?
It's not my favorite episode.
Oh my god.
But I will give it a 7 out of 7 because I love it that much, and I think Jason Ralph playing a villain is the best thing to ever happen, and I think that he should play more villains, please. Thank you. I also, there are some funny lines in this episode. I do enjoy Julia. She's great. I don't like Penny 23, but in this instance, I do enjoy him much more than I do later. There's like two instances when I like him, and that's it. Three instances when I like him, and that's it.
All right.
But, you know, I just, it's all for that Quentin 23. I just love Quentin it so much. Quentin Hot Water. Quentin Hot Water, man. Love it. Shout out to Jason Ralph.
All right, this is getting a little weird here. Feeling slightly uncomfortable. Trigger warning.
What would you rate this?
All right. Well, in my patented rating system, which is I find how many things in this episode are worth giving it a point. So first of all, they made a Harvey Weinstein joke before the Me Too movement. So good for them. So that's point number one for them.
This was in 2018. Oh. The Me Too movement was happening.
Oh, was it happening?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was contemporary then. All right. Number two is Batman reference. Number three.
Even though you don't remember what
it was. It was a Batman 66 holy alternate reality Batman. Yes, we're going to go back and watch it.
Oh.
And you're going to see how wrong you are. No, we're not going to rewatch the episode. We're just going to fast forward to that part. Okay, point number three comes from, of course, Star Wars reference.
Uh-huh.
Point number four comes from a long, excruciating Hogwarts reference.
Carrot wine.
Number five comes from a Princess Bride reference.
Mm.
Number six comes from Captain Hops and Carrot Wine. And point number seven comes, of course, from Awesome Josh. Yes, I will rate this a 7 out of 7, even though it is so blatantly off the rails and completely oblivious
another timeline
about the show. And this is, like I said, we are very deep into fan fiction territory now, and I don't think there's ever a way to come back from it now. This is it. As far as I'm concerned,
oh, yeah.
The books are dead. And there's nothing even vaguely resembling the books.
The Magicians is dead. The Magicians. Long live the Magicians.
Exactly. So, yes, I will give it a 7 out of 7. It was a good episode.
Uh-huh.
It was exciting. There was a lot of interesting stuff going on. It was funny. It's had great effects. And yeah, it was worth watching.
Hell yeah. And guess what?
What?
It's time for you to ask me things.
All right. First of all. What is your favorite flavor of pie?
I really like apple pie.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
I like when it's warm and it like has cold ice cream on it, but I also like when it's cold because it kind of coagulates.
Now, do you like traditional crust pie or do you like Dutch apple with the crumble?
I like traditional crust.
Oh, I like Dutch apple.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of apple crisp.
Yeah.
All right. I'll ask you the real question. And the real question is this: Coke or Pepsi?
Neither.
What do you like better than Coke or Pepsi?
Ginger ale.
What are you, some sort of monster? What are you, perpetually sick?
Yes.
Head. All right, I'll ask you a question. What's going on in the world of the Magicians
right now? There is the Great Filter, which is the play that Jason Ralph and Trevor Einhorn are doing in July.
Fast forward, you already plugged this.
I know, I'm doing it again.
No, something else. Keep going.
Okay.
We don't need to hear this stuff twice.
Shut your mouth. There is also a charity event that is going to be happening in July. At the end of July, I am helping coordinate a portion of it. It is called Philanthropy Bitches, and it is a collection of different things, magicians themed, that you can get in support of the Covenant House, which is the charity in support of unhoused youth, which is the charity that Jason Ralph particularly supports a lot of the time. There is going to be an auction for some memory bears, I believe they're called, which are made out of fabric from the show. There's also going to be enamel pins that you can get, that and the proceeds will go to the charity. And there's also going to be a fan book.
Are you designing any of these things?
I am helping with the fan book. I am organizing that.
What about the enamel pins?
I'm not doing that. But the fan book is, we don't know how long it is particularly yet, but it is going to have text and also art from a bunch of different artists, and it's going to be pretty cool. And that's going to be at the end of July, hopefully. And all the proceeds from that will also go to the Covenant House.
Sounds like a good cause with a lot of cool swag.
Yeah, and there's also still a Magician's D&D game that's being organized. Also, my Magician's game just
what
started.
What system are you using?
I'm using GURPS, which is the
generic universal
role-playing system. And
by
we,
Steve Jackson Games. Hi, friends at Steve Jackson Games.
And we just played our first game. As of recording this, we haven't, but when this episode comes out, we will have. And I'm very pumped because all the stuff that I made is cool. I'm tempted. We might.
It can be an extra episode, and then I can have a week off.
No, it will not be an extra episode because it's going to be bi-weekly sessions.
Maybe it could be like a Patreon only.
We don't have
thing.
A Patreon for
well,
this podcast.
Maybe we should.
But you know, we do have an email, fillerianfather@gmail.com. Email us, send us messages, force dad to write fanfiction.
Did we get any email?
We got two whole emails. We have
two.
One, and the subject line says, Scott's fanfiction, please.
It says, another vote.
Dear Fillerianfather, my friend Ellen suggested I write you. I'd love to read The Magician's Fanfiction by Scott Rogers, please. Thanks a bunch. L-N.
Oh, wow. L-N. Oh, L-N.
Yeah.
All right. Obviously, they're now resorting to pseudonyms.
Uh-huh.
But that's okay. It still counts. All right. What else?
We also have another one. It says, subject line, hi. And there's a little smiley face, and it's from MJ.
Oh, a new person.
Hello, Fillerianfather. I'm Morgan Jenkins, and I've recently become an avid listener of your podcast.
Hi, Morgan.
Being relatively new to this fandom, your weekly episode recap has been a great place for me to hear about upcoming magicians-related events, as well as fresh, fun thoughts on the series. Also loved your Hale interview so, so much. I'm sending in this email to plead to Mr. Scott Rogers to write his fanfiction.
Ah.
We all know it'll be better than whatever happened with Season 5.
Ah!
Would love, love, love to hear it. Your spinoffs are so crazy funny, and I'm sure he will write some of the wittiest stuff. Also, I already messaged you on Insta about it, but I absolutely adore your artwork, this to me, and your contributions to the fandom, especially your remake of Season 5. Literally brought me to tears. Wish it were real. Can't wait for this week's episode. You guys are amazing. Hearts. Love
Aww.
You, Evelyn. Love you, Mr. Evelyn's dad, and have a wonderful day.
Aw, well, thank you, Morgan.
Thank you.
That's so sweet.
Thank you so much.
Well, if you are filled with the love for
Email
Fillery
us,
and Father,
spam us with emails
right,
about
please.
Dad writing fan fiction. Please, God, I want to hear his takes on all the characters.
My hot takes.
Your hot takes.
Oh, man. All right. I have to.
Uh-huh. You well, have to.
I'm feeling pressured.
Yeah, feel pressured. Peer pressure, bitch.
There was that, who was it that put up that poll on Twitter?
Ellen,
yes. Ellen. That was funny. All right.
Ellen made a poll about dad writing fanfiction.
Yes, and it all was, yes, I
should. Yes, of course. Why hasn't he yet?
Yes, why hasn't I? All right. Well, only I know the answer to that, and that is laziness. Answer is too busy.
The answer is you can email us at fillerianfather@gmail.com, message us at fillerianfather on Twitter, or Fillery and Father on TikTok. Where can people find you?
They can find me online at Mighty Bed Bug on the Twits and on the Instas.
Yeah, what are the handles?
I said Mighty Bed Bug.
Okay.
What about you?
You can find me at @wow_then on Twitter and at @fishyduaros on Instagram and Patreon. Also under the name Evelyn Rogers, making art. Doing all kinds
of
stuff.
Yeah, commission some art, and then Evelyn will post it.
Yeah, put it on
particularly some magician stuff. It's been a while since you've drawn some magician stuff.
It's not been a while. It's been,
when did you last draw?
Like 3 days.
3 days. That's a long time for
that's
you.
A long time. I've been busy.
Yes, we've all been busy, but fortunately, we have enough. We're not busy enough to record the next episode of
Fillory and Father. We're two episodes away from being done.
I know.
But we're season three.
Free at last.
No.
And it's just getting worse from there, right? All right. I can't wait. All right. Well, hopefully you'll stick around with us too, and we will have you listen to us next time. Hooray. You.